Imagine this. You're like 14 hours into a print.
Oh boy. I already know where this is going.
Right. The walls look absolutely flawless. The infill is laying down perfectly. And then you hear it.
Oh, thump.
Yes. The dreaded hollow thump of a nozzle hitting a warped edge. Your entire print is just ruined because your Z offset drifted by like a fraction of a millimeter.
Yeah.
Or, you know, your bed was slightly out of level.
It is the absolute worst feeling.
It really is. And if you've been printing with PLA and BTG for the last 6 to 24 months, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've spent countless hours slipping pieces of paper under the nozzle, manually adjusting knobs, and basically praying to the 3D printing gods for a clean first layer.
Oh yeah, we've all been there.
And you want to upgrade, right? You want a machine that simply works. But you have a budget, and you're probably wondering if that seamless experience is even like possible without spending a small fortune.
It's the defining dilemma for any intermediate maker today. Because you know, you've completely outgrown that entry-level tinkering phase where fixing the machine was actually part of the
Yeah,
fun.
it stops being fun pretty quickly.
Exactly. But at the same time, you're not running a commercial print farm that justifies some massive professional-grade financial investment. And the gap between those two worlds used to be an enormous leap.
Well, and that gap is exactly what we're exploring in today's deep dive. We're looking at the current landscape of sub-15,000 CZK 3D printers in 2026.
A very interesting space right now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Specifically, we're putting three very popular machines under the microscope. We have the Bamboo Lab A1 Mini, the Anycubic Cobra 3, and the Creality K1C.
All solid contenders.
And just for context, we are pulling all our insights today from two really excellent articles over at Printara 3D. The first is a MondayHub article breaking down budget printers under $600, and the second is a dedicated Thursday support piece detailing the A1 Mini.
And our mission today is not to just sit here and read you a specification sheet. I mean, you already know what a 3D printer is and how a slicer works.
Right, you guys don't need the absolute basic.
Exactly. Our goal is to build a practical decision framework for your next purchase. We really want to move beyond the basic questions and get into the mechanical realities and, you know, the daily workflow of these specific machines.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the entire market has shifted pretty dramatically. If we rewind the clock just a little bit, what did a 15,000 CZK budget actually get you?
Honestly, just a few years ago, that specific budget bought you an enthusiast kit.
A box of parts, basically.
Yeah, exactly. You were essentially buying a box of loose stepper motors, some aluminum extrusions, and a bag of screws.
Sounds exhausting.
It meant a weekend of frustrating assembly and a very steep learning curve. I mean, the burden of mechanical precision was entirely on your shoulders. If the frame was not perfectly square, well, your prints failed.
Right. But today, that exact same budget buys you fully automatic calibration.
It really does. The entire paradigm has flipped from building and tuning the machine yourself to simply turning it on and letting it print.
And Bamboo Lab really pushed this shift into overdrive, I think. They brought out the A series in late 2023, which was a massive deal because prior to that launch, their X1 and P1 lines were aimed squarely at the prosumer market.
Very much so.
Those were machines for people running small businesses or pushing extreme technical limits. But the A series explicitly targets everyday consumers, hobbyists, and absolute beginners.
Right. They took the advanced software ecosystem and that whole automation philosophy of their high-end core machines and aggressively scaled it down to a more accessible price point.
The reality of that automation is honestly staggering. Let's look at the A1 Mini. It arrives at your door, pre-assembled and pre-leveled.
Which is huge.
According to the manufacturer, you pull it out of the box, plug it in, and it's ready for its first print in roughly 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes from a sealed box to printing plastic.
That's incredibly fast.
It is. But I have to play devil's advocate here for a second. Let's compare this to buying a standard paper printer for your home office. You plug it
Yeah.
in, and it prints. You have no idea how the toner cartridge actually works, and when a gear breaks, you just throw the whole thing
I
away.
see where you're going with this.
Right, so is this level of absolute automation actually a good thing for a maker's skill set? Like, does it make users complacent so that when things inevitably go wrong, they lack the foundational knowledge to troubleshoot?
That is a very valid concern, and you know, it's something heavily debated in the community. But I look at it from a different perspective.
Okay, lay it on me.
Well, the printer is handling the bed leveling, the Z offset, the vibration compensation, and the flow dynamics entirely in the background. What's fascinating here is that removing that mechanical setup barrier doesn't necessarily make you lazy. No, instead, it frees up your cognitive load. It allows users to focus on complex geometric design, on learning advanced CAD software, and on exploring material science. You graduate from being a mechanic constantly fixing a tool to being a designer actively using a tool.
Okay, I see your point. If you're not fighting the bed leveling knobs every single morning, you can spend that hour learning how to design better functional snap fit joints.
Exactly.
Just to be clear on how it's doing this magic, though, we do have to look at the mechanics. The software actively measures and calibrates for specific resonance frequencies in the background.
Right. It learns how the frame shakes at different speeds.
Yeah, and it counters it with motor movements. It measures, it adjusts, and it prints, smoothing out those ghosting artifacts automatically.
The user experience is what truly matters there. The software ecosystem handles the physical imperfections of the hardware.
Knowing that the A series is explicitly designed for this ease of use, we really need to look at the physical limitations and the costs of the smallest machine in that lineup. Let's break down the A1 Mini reality.
Let's do it.
The pricing numbers are aggressive. The base version of the A1 Mini runs around $299. And for that, you're getting a build volume of 180 by 180 by 180 millimeters.
Which is pretty compact.
Very compact. Now contrast that with the full-size A1, which offers a 256 millimeter print area and starts at $399.
This is where we have to establish some very firm boundaries on what the A1 Mini actually is and what it is not. Because, at $299, it's very easy to project industrial capabilities onto it that just aren't there.
That's a great point.
Let's define the mechanics. The A1 Mini is an open-frame bed slinger.
And for anyone who hasn't thought deeply about the kinematics, that means the heavy build plate is physically throwing your printed part back and forth on the y-axis. The printhead moves left and right on the x-axis, and a single cantilever arm handles the z-axis height.
Exactly. And importantly, it does not have a heated enclosure.
Zero enclosure.
Right. Because of this open design, it absolutely cannot reliably print ABS out of the box. You will experience severe warping
Oh,
issues.
for sure.
Furthermore, its heated bed maxes out at 80 degrees Celsius.
We should probably explain why that warping happens for folks. ABS shrinks significantly as it cools. If you try to print large ABS parts on a bed that only hits 80 degrees, while cold room air is freely blowing across the upper layers of the print, the top layers shrink faster than the bottom layers.
Which is a recipe for disaster.
Total disaster. That uneven thermal contraction causes the bottom corners to literally peel up off the build plate like a potato chip.
A very frustrating plastic potato chip.
Exactly. So we're looking at a strict diet of PLA, PTG, and TPU for this machine, which honestly, you listening to this are already very comfortable with.
Yeah, it excels at those standard materials, but you absolutely must know the thermal ceiling of the machine before you buy it.
I want you, the listener, to think about your own projects right now. Look around your workspace. Look at the last 10 things you printed. I have to ask, is a 180 millimeter build volume not a massive downgrade for someone who already has a basic standard 220 or 250 millimeter printer?
It definitely sounds like a downgrade on a specification sheet. But if we look at real-world usage data for small functional parts, desktop organizers, tabletop figurines, and structural brackets, 180 millimeters is often plenty of space.
I guess that's true for most day-to-day stuff.
Right, you're trading sheer dimensional size for speed and surface quality. Despite its small footprint, the A1 Mini reaches maximum print speeds of 500 millimeters per second.
Wait, hold on. You're talking about 500 millimeters a second on a bed slinger.
Yes, I am.
Doesn't the basic physics of a moving bed mean that kind of speed is going to completely ruin the surface finish on anything taller than a simple calibration cube? I mean, you are whipping a heavy piece of plastic back and forth on a single arm.
You would think so, and that is the historical problem with bed slinger designs. But the software ecosystem we mentioned earlier addresses that directly.
The resonance compensation.
Exactly. By compensating for those vibrations dynamically, it manages to maintain high surface quality even at those velocities. Plus, it features a quiet mode that operates under 48 decibels.
That's wild. 48 decibels is basically the hum of a quiet refrigerator.
Which makes it completely viable for a living room, a dorm room, or a shared home office. You simply cannot say that about most older, larger bed slingers that grind and whine loudly for hours on end.
Totally. Okay, so if 180 millimeters is enough space for your daily needs, then the next major feature competing for your budget is color printing.
The new frontier.
It really is the new battleground for consumer hardware. We have the Bamboo A1 Mini on one side and the Anycubic Cobra 3 on the other. Both offer incredibly accessible color printing, but they approach the hardware slightly differently.
They do.
Let's look at the Anycubic Cobra 3 combo. Anycubic has a very long history of budget-friendly machines. With the Cobra 3 combo, they integrated a multi-material system directly into the package. Mechanically, they're providing a highly competitive option for users who just want to print colorful items without spending a premium on closed ecosystems.
It is a very compelling package for the price. Anycubic has really focused on making their multi-material box robust and accessible, giving users a viable alternative in the budget color space.
But let's look at how Bamboo Lab handles this, because I need to clear up a very common misconception right now. You see promotional photos online of the A1 Mini, and it almost always has that four-spool color system sitting right next to it.
Yep, the marketing is very effective.
Too effective, maybe. Let me be perfectly clear. The AMS Lite multicolor module is not included free with every A1 Mini.
Definitely not.
You only get that module if you buy the combo version, which runs around $459. If you buy the $299 base unit, you are printing in exactly one color at a time.
That financial distinction is vital for your budget planning. Now, if we connect this to the bigger picture, we need to talk about the physical reality of multicolor printing on a single nozzle system.
Right, the logistics of it.
Exactly. This applies whether you are using the A1 Mini combo or the Cobra 3 combo. The magic of multiple colors does not happen without a significant cost. When you print multiple colors through one nozzle, the system has to use what we call a purge tower, or a prime block.
Let's use an analogy here to explain the mechanism. It's like trying to paint a masterpiece with a single brush. Every time you want to switch from blue paint to yellow paint, you can't just dip the brush directly into the new color.
Right, it would just mix.
Exactly. You have to thoroughly scrub that brush out on a scrap piece of paper, which is our purge tower. Otherwise, the residual blue mixes with yellow, and you end up printing a muddy green mess on your actual model.
That is a brilliant way to visualize it. Because you only have one physical nozzle, the system has to physically switch spools, pull the old filament all the way out, load the new filament all the way in, and then completely purge the nozzle until the new color runs pure.
And it does this constantly.
Every single time a layer changes color, it purges excess material into that tower. This means multicolor models use significantly more raw material and take significantly more time than the physical volume of your actual model would suggest.
I mean, if you're printing a complex four-color figurine with hundreds of color changes across the vertical axis, you might end up with a solid block of waste plastic that weighs just as much as the figurine itself.
And that is fine if vibrant color is your primary goal. You are accepting that waste as the cost of the capability. But what if color is not your goal? What if you want to print highly durable functional parts?
Exactly. What if you need to print gears, structural brackets, or automotive clips, things that cannot be made out of standard PLA because they will just melt in a hot car.
Yeah, PLA won't survive a summer afternoon.
Not a chance. That brings us to the alternative path and brings the Creality K1C into the conversation. It typically sits right in the 11,000 to 13,000 CZK range, depending on current retail deals.
Right in that same budget sweet spot.
Yep. Now, this printer is marketed heavily towards technical materials. People love throwing around the term Core XY with the K1C, and they constantly talk about its full enclosure. But looking closely at the mechanics across our sources, is that the absolute truth?
Well, the terminology gets very blurry in this specific price tier.
It really does.
If you look closely at the mechanical layout, we have to be explicitly uncertain here. People will heavily debate if it is a strict textbook Core XY setup in the traditional engineering sense, and that so-called full enclosure is not perfectly sealed like a high-end industrial machine.
So it's not a true heated chamber.
No, but here is why those exact definitions might not actually matter for what you are trying to print. It still provides a significantly more stable temperature environment than any open frame ever could.
Because it traps enough of the ambient heat from the bed to prevent that rapid thermal contraction we talked about with ABS.
Precisely. Furthermore, we do know exactly what the K1C brings to the table for technical printing hardware. It features a hardened nozzle designed specifically for abrasive filaments, like carbon fiber composites.
We should explain the physical mechanism there for anyone who hasn't used them. Standard brass nozzles are fantastic for thermal conductivity. They heat up fast and melt plastic smoothly. But carbon fiber filament is literally tiny, microscopic shards of incredibly hard material suspended in the plastic.
It's essentially liquid sandpaper.
Yes. When you push that through a small brass hole at high pressure, It acts exactly like liquid sandpaper. It will physically grind out the inside of a brass nozzle in a matter of hours, widening the hole and completely ruining your extrusion width.
And your prints will look terrible.
Terribly under-extruded or over-extruded, yeah. Okay. The K1C features a hardened nozzle built to take that continuous physical abuse.
Let us frame this directly for you, the listener, as a practical decision guide. Think of this as an option X versus option Y framework for your next purchase.
I love a clear framework. Let's lay it out.
Option X, you pick the Bamboo Lab A1 Mini Combo. You choose this row if your primary desires are multicolor printing, completely hands-off calibration, and you are certain your parts will comfortably fit inside a 180 by 180 by 180 millimeter cube.
So it's for a specific type of user.
Exactly. This is for the user who wants to print vibrant models, toys, and standard household organizers without ever touching a wrench.
Option X is for the hands-off artist.
Now, option Y. You go for the Creality K1C or a similarly enclosed style machine in that bracket.
The technical route?
Right. You choose this if you plan to print higher temperature or engineering materials that absolutely need a contained, warmer chamber to prevent warping. You choose this if you need a hardened pathway for abrasive filaments to make functional, durable parts.
So what does this all mean? Your 15,000 CZK budget is essentially a fork in the road. You can no longer just ask the internet what the best printer is.
No, the best is entirely subjective now.
You have to buy the printer that matches your specific trajectory as a maker. Are you going towards toys, models, and easy color? Or are you going towards functional, abrasive, high-temperature engineering parts?
Making that specific choice honestly with yourself will save you a tremendous amount of frustration down the road.
We've laid out the mechanics, the thermal limitations, the physical prices, and the main competitors. Now it's time to give you a definitive, actionable piece of advice for making a purchase.
This is the important part.
I'm going to pause for a second. Make sure you are listening closely, because if you are hovering over a checkout button today, you really need to hear this.
Listen up.
If you are buying your first bamboo printer this week, order the A1 Mini Combo over the bare unit. Do not buy the $299 base model intending to upgrade to color later. The AMS Lite Multicolor module is the one upgrade you cannot cheaply add after the fact at this price point.
It comes down to basic math and ecosystem design. Buying the bare unit for $299 might save you some cash today, sure. It feels like a safe, conservative bet if you are unsure about multicolor.
Which makes sense on paper.
But when you inevitably decide you want to try color printing in 3 months, buying the AMS Lite as a standalone add-on is completely financially inefficient. The physical separate purchase cost is much higher.
It stings to buy it later.
The bundle discount you get by purchasing the $459 combo from day one is substantial. If there is even a 20% chance you will want multicolor capabilities in the next year, just buy the combo.
It is the absolute cheapest gateway into their color ecosystem, but only if you use the specific gate they built for you on day one. Trying to piecemeal it later just drains your budget for no mechanical benefit.
To summarize this entire deep dive, the sub-15,000 CZK budget in 2026 offers an incredible variety of capable machines. You are not buying unreliable junk anymore.
Not at all.
But it absolutely requires you to choose a lane. You must pick between maximum automation and accessible color with something like the A1 Mini or Coper 3, or choose technical material capability with a more thermally contained system like the K1C.
This price bracket proves that 3D printers are no longer a hobby in themselves. They are now an appliance for your hobby.
A very well said point.
Your 15,000 CZK is not just buying hardware anymore, it's buying back your time. The real question is not which printer has the best raw specifications, but which bottleneck in your personal workflow you are actively trying to eliminate.
That is the perfect way to look at it. The hardware is no longer the limit. The limit is knowing what you actually want to design.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of making things, I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought to mull over.
Ooh, all right. Let's hear it.
We talked about how these ecosystems operate and the creative community modifications that exist. For instance, there are physical modifications for the A1 Mini, like the Chutu plate cycler, that mechanically bolt onto the machine.
Oh, those are wild.
Yeah. When a print finishes, it physically pushes the magnetic build plate off the bed, drops a fresh one down from a magazine, and starts the next print, completely unattended.
So it is running continuous 24-hour manufacturing on a desktop budget. That is an amazing mechanical achievement.
It is brilliant engineering. But consider this. If you automate your printer to run 24 hours a day, endlessly swapping its own plates and churning out multicolor prints while you're sleeping at night or away at work, do you actually have the physical desk space in your home for a massive, exponentially growing pile of finished plastic parts?
That is the real hidden danger of perfect automation. Suddenly, your quiet home office is just a mountain of plastic boats, desktop organizers, and heavy purge towers. For the full numbers, see printerair3d.com.